Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Once again, we thank State Rep Jeff Gill for joining us. And we go from one state rep to another, and we also add in a very popular fire chief, at least with Christine James. We have Marshfield Fire Chief Kevin Robinson here. We also have State Representative Jim Cantwell, and we're here to talk about ambulance legislation. Now, I want to say it was a week or two ago, we were having a little bit of a luncheon for our annual awards that we win here at WATD, and I bumped into the chief, and he says, "Hey, I'd love to get a chance to kind of talk about this. I'm somebody who I love. If somebody walks up and says, this is a great topic, I want to talk about it, I welcome it with open arms." And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about a bill from our conversation is 4 years in the making that we're just kind of hoping that it's eventually going to get the governor's signature on it. Which one of you gentlemen would like to start off talking about this?
Never to concede the microphone to a representative.
Okay.
Kevin Robinson, Marshfield Fire Chief. In 2010, every emergency ambulance service, every ambulance provider in the Commonwealth received a letter saying that if you don't accept our rate, we're going to start paying the patient directly. Then you can get the money from the patient. After months of negotiation, assistance from the state rep and from the insurance commissioner, we got them to separate that emergency. First it was municipals, then it was emergency ambulance. So it's now has not affected municipally run services, but it does affect privates that are doing municipal work, like in the city of Brockton. So those patients that are going in an ambulance that is providing emergency ambulance service to the city of Brockton may get that check directly. Then it's the ambulance company's responsibility to chase that person and get the money for the service already provided. So that was the beginning of the fight in 2010. And we've worked very hard. Multiple bills have been filed, worked with many members of the House and the Senate to get the bill to the governor's desk in multiple forms, and each time it comes out with changing who gets to set the rate for the municipality.
And you, while we were talking during the break, actually gave credit to the individual sitting next to you as being diligent and working on behalf of this particular bill.
I would say this, I say this publicly all the time. Yep. If we didn't have the assistance of Representative Cantwell, this bill would not have got traction 4 years ago. He's been with us every step of the way for 4 years. We have a large coalition. We've included the MMA is now understands the issue. If you give us the opportunity to explain it, it's easy to follow. And that was the problem. We couldn't get the door open to explain it. But we've got many members of the House, we've got many members of the Senate who clearly understand the issue now, and we just need to push it forward. MMA is with us, the professional firefighters are with us, and the fire chiefs have been on this issue for 4 years, and it happened during my presidency, and each president since then has just said, "Keep going, Kev." So they haven't taken it away from me to try to push this to a final closure.
Representative, where do things stand with this at the moment?
Where things are at the moment, and just I want to begin by saying, you know, Kevin's being too modest. Because Kevin Robinson here, when he was the president for the Fire Chiefs Association of Massachusetts, he really brought this to the forefront and was helping to demonstrate. It was a Machiavellian plan that these insurance companies were doing. It actually is, from a business perspective, it's very smart, because they say to private ambulance companies and soon to be municipalities, accept our rate, we're going to pay you less than what it costs you to actually run the service, and if you don't, you won't be in our system. We're going to send the checks to the patients, and God bless you. You try to go out and reach people who just have been rushed to the hospital, or people might have a mortgage payment coming up or the like. We know, we've already seen for the privates, that they're losing 40% of the revenue. This will be a local aid cut. No other way around it. And we made the argument over several sessions. We passed it in the House several times. Last year, got passed in both branches. It was sent back to us by the governor. We've overridden that language that was given. It's in the Senate right now, and we're hopeful that the Senate will take it up in this next month to be able to pass it. We have a belt and suspenders. That really is our preferred way of having it done, is that vote, because we did our override. Right. If not, there's a bill that I filed that it has already passed out of several committees that's in House Ways and Means. It just will take longer. And what I want to stress to people when we're talking about, no one cares out there when you call 911. You just want a quality. You want to have, in our case, two paramedics in Marshfield to come. You want to make sure you're taken care of. This is a tremendous threat to the quality of care because, Mr. City Councilor for Brockton, if you start getting a 40% cut in what you have for your budget, you're not going to have the same level of ambulance service that will get out there. You won't be able to pay for two paramedics like we do in Marshfield. It is going to have an effect, and I'm quite concerned about the quality of care that will be provided if these cuts go unchecked.
All along, we've been saying this is an impact on the taxpayer, that the taxpayer will be forced into a decision to say, I'm going to put more money up front so there's an ambulance there in case I need it, or I'm going to accept less service. Either way, the taxpayer is the one that loses in this. And we've been advocating that that's what this is,
right,
that we believe local officials understand the local costs, and every community is going to be a little different. Mm-hmm. Marshfield, we own 4 ambulances. We just bought a new ambulance. Took delivery of it last week. It was $187,000 for that ambulance. We hope to get 3 years out of that ambulance. The next ambulance we buy for the same truck because of safety improvements is $255,000. Since I've been chief, we buy an ambulance every 2 years. So if we divide that in half, it's $130,000 a year that the town of Marshfield puts forward to buy an ambulance. And then we have the manpower costs and the stocking and the maintenance. There's tremendous costs, and that's what we tried to explain in the beginning, is there's a cost of readiness to run an emergency ambulance service. It's not that go to here and pick up this person, bring them here, drop off. It's not a taxi service.
Right.
We have to be ready when you call, because that's when you need us, not 45 minutes from now, when you call. And there's a cost to that. And we understand that, and we've put that forward saying, this is why the local official has to be the one that sets that rate. They set the trash rate, they set the water rate, they set the value of your home, and then set the tax rate for your home. Why are they not qualified to set an ambulance rate? Mm.
Okay, we're speaking with Marshfield Fire Chief Kevin Robinson and State Representative Jim Cantwell. In studios, my co-host is Brockton City Councilor Dennis DiNapoli. Dennis, did you want to pose a question or ask a question?
A question to this representative.
Sure.
Who out there, constituents, can call to see if they can move this bill along? It's right now it's in the Senate, correct?
It is. If folks want to call for the state Senate, if people want to call for the main switchboard, you know, it's 617-722-2000, ask for their senator. And be saying that this is something that would be a priority. And it, you know, one of the things that we've all been battling.
Bill number two, we have to give them.
That's right. Well, in this case, just say for the ambulance bill, everybody knows for the ambulance. It's House 3557, an act relative to reimbursement for ambulance services. And to put it into perspective, what's happening now, where again, we want to make sure our professionals who run an ambulance, if they get a call and someone's saying, I'm having heart pains and the like, or chest pains, they're going to get transported. We no questions asked. We want to make sure those people are cared for. Well, right now in the atmosphere, we're battling with drug addiction. We're battling with other issues. If people out there are hearing that they're going to get a check mailed to them saying, what a country. You know, you can now call and feign that you're having some heart palpitations. You get transported and you get a check mailed to you for $700. We had cases up in Chelmsford. We had people, one gentleman repeatedly was making up things to make claims. And for the legitimate people out there who really are having a healthcare emergency, it's slowing down response times. And then again, with the cuts that'll be coming, and we've already seen them with private ambulance companies, they're not giving two paramedics like we do in Marshfield. We're not going to have the same level of care. So I appreciate the question. Call the state out, 617-722-2000.
And every minute counts.
It certainly does.
You know, 2 minutes and 5 minutes is a big difference in saving a life, Chief. And I totally agree.
Absolutely. And we are concerned about that. We were concerned when this started 4 years ago. We predicted things that would happen.
Right.
That eventually they're going to come after municipally owned emergency ambulance services. They're doing that. We said that there would be fraud. We showed the cases. This one in Chelmsford, it was his part-time job. He would call for an ambulance, get the check, go out and buy drugs, call for an ambulance, go out and buy drugs. And he admitted this to a police sergeant when he was locked up on a warrant. So then he charged him with fraud. So we knew it was going to happen. All the bad things of sending the check to the patient, and the one of the major ambulance companies in this area is chasing 60% of those checks that went to the patient. 60%. The town of Marshfield can't take a 60% reduction in our revenue. We just can't do it.
And I have to ask you, because I've heard this, I have actually heard this conversation before. I had said to you off air, before we came on here, that a fellow fire chief in the town of Whitman had talked about this, and talked about that Whitman doesn't necessarily just serve Whitman. If there's a mutual aid type of a thing,
of course,
you may find yourself going to neighboring towns. You're going to say no. If you're asked to support another community, you know, it's kind of a give and take type of thing. You may be supporting them one community, they may be supporting you another time. So it's not necessarily just Marshfield residents, but you might have to help out in a community type setting.
Absolutely, that we do have mutual aid, and the most frequent type of mutual aid is ambulances. Mm. That it's pretty common. Last year in Marshfield, of our 1,800 transports, 94 were done by mutual aid ambulances. So about 5% of our call volume was handled by mutual aid ambulances.
Is this? Do you find that the insurance company is lobbying very hard for this, and that this is, that's what's the holdup, is that they're lobbying and pushing? Because it's about the bottom line, it seems to me, is if they could just kind of dish it off to somebody else at a lower cost, it's gonna be better for them.
No question. The insurance companies have been pushing very hard back at this. Every time we come up for a vote, there'll be an editorial in the Herald or the Globe that will say, terrible, terrible, you're going to drive rates up. And we keep saying that there's a discussion that the insurance lobby will say we want to save $65 million in premiums, but what they're not telling you is they're pushing those costs to municipalities, who are pushing those costs in other areas that people are demanding when they call me. We want to have the finest services when it comes to the emergency health care. And they know that there's a cost to that. The insurance lobby on the other side are saying that no, we're going to save this money, and we don't care who pays for it. And that's a difficulty.
And we brought this up early on in this conversation years ago, that we understand that everybody wants to cut health costs. The governor wants to cut health costs. Mm-hmm. But if you don't cut my cost of readiness, then my taxpayers have to make that decision.
Right.
Less service or pay more. And so if you're not going to cut my cost of the things that the state requires me to do, all of my ambulances are inspected by a state employee who comes down and inspects my ambulance, $300 an ambulance, times four Class A and three Class 5 ambulances. So we're paying the state to come down and do these inspections, and then they're saying, cut your costs. If you don't want to cut my costs, I can't cut my fee. I need my fee so that my taxpayers who willingly fronted the money to have an emergency ambulance service are getting some return on that investment.
And Kevin, I think, puts it expertly. And we found, when I was a Board of Selectmen member, our local boards get it. We don't want to be doing things that are going to cost our constituents more than what the service required. So we would have hearings, and you as well, with the city council. You'd have a hearing, your fire chief comes in and would present, this is what it costs to run our service, this is what we have for our four ambulances, this is what we did last year for the drugs that were provided, this was the entire cost. This was how many patients we had, and you divide it. It was done fairly easily in an open meeting where people could come and ask questions. That's the kind of openness and transparency that we want, and people got to see the exact line item for what the costs were. Marshfield's costs were much lower than a number of the ones that were being factored around the state. That's the reason why Mass Municipal Association has endorsed the bill. That's why we have our firefighters, not only the chiefs, but the firefighter members, and all of the reps who've been looking at this. We know this is a priority, so we're hoping to try to get action this month and get this bill passed.
One of the many versions that we saw was they wanted a state official to set the rate. We were opposed to that as well, because as local officials, I see the people that are paying that rate in the supermarket. The chairman of the Board of Selectmen sees them in the supermarket. Who better to set the rate for the people he's going to see every day, a local official or a state official? We believe 100% it should be the local official. He lives in the town. He's getting a benefit from this service, whether he ever uses it or not. It's there for him if he needs it. That's the person who should have the ultimate say, the local official, just like all the other rates in the community. The local official is qualified, understands the cost, should be setting the rate, not the insurance company.
Chief, where does it end? Because, you know, if it isn't enough that every year when it comes to town meeting, you got to make sure you justify what your bottom line is, your line item is to the taxpayers of your community. Now it's something else that you got to make sure that isn't going to be, you know, having some kind of an impact on what service you're going to provide.
And in all the years that I've been chief, I've never found the Board of Selectmen over legal to raise fees. If there's a request to raise a fee, I got to go and justify, here's the reason why I think we should raise this rate, because they understand that they need to be watching out for their constituents just as well.
Is that something that you've brought forth in this argument in the push for this bill passing? Is this when or how often your department has sought an increase, whether it's happened or not?
In the conversations over the years, yes, we've brought that forward. We've done some spreadsheets on other departments. We've looked at what the range of rates were. We've combated the couple of the 1.5 million transports in the Commonwealth one year. They picked one transport and said it was $3,000. That's exorbitant. Well, number one, it wasn't an emergency transport. It was transfer from one hospital to the other. And I can show you 750,000 emergency transports only, not transfer work, just transport, that those rates were reasonable. And that's what we're trying to protect, is emergency ambulance, that when someone needs an ambulance or believes they need an ambulance and they call 911, they should get a timely, qualified ambulance to their home to provide that level of care and then transport them to the appropriate facility.
Counselor?
Well, Chief, I'm totally with you on this. There's probably a lot of people out there that probably never even heard about this bill.
Right.
You know, they just everybody takes everything for granted today. And the bottom line is, you're in the business to save lives. I'm in the business, like the representative is, to answer to our constituents about saving money, too. Hmm. And you can't cut cost on something like this. I totally agree with you. So let's get moving and move this forward.
Great.
I guess the next thing I have to ask is, what is stopping the governor from signing this? Is that where it sits right now? Is it on the governor's desk? Or are we waiting for it to get to the governor? Where is it?
We're waiting for it to get to the governor's desk. So it would take another vote on the state Senate side. The state Senate did pass a version of this last year. Right. It did get to the governor's desk. It was sent back. Not to get too caught into the trees here on things, it really comes down to trying to make sure that we have a rate that can be set by localities as opposed to being set by the insurance companies. And there's some folks who think the insurance company should set it. We're saying, no, we can do it much better at the local level, and that's where the philosophical battle happened. We have overridden what was a veto message last year. It's before the Senate now, and that's our hope that the Senate will be able to take action this month.
The other argument that we heard was that letting the insurance company set the rate. The insurance company has never run an emergency ambulance service. I've been running an emergency ambulance service as the chief for the last 12 years. So I understand the cost. Everybody that's running an emergency ambulance service understands the cost. Right. They present it to their boss and my boss of the Board of Selectmen. I present to them saying this is what our rate needs to be so that we're getting some return on the investment we've made in emergency. And we provide a great service. But it costs money to provide a great service, and we're looking to get some kind of return. And our average return has declined over the last few years. Of all of our transports, we went from 547 per transport to 537, and last year we were down to 482. So paying the Marshfield ambulance rate is not breaking the insurance company. And if we're going to control costs, let's control them all the way. Mm. That don't cut my rate without cutting my costs, and there's been no move to cut my costs. And the simple solution is let that local official set the rate for their community, and that's part of the bill. The governor agrees that paying the patient is the wrong thing to do. He agrees with no balance billing.
Right.
It's the end of that sentence. Who gets to set the rate?
It's language.
It's a few words in the entire bill. Is he says the insurance company, and we say the local official.
Seems like he's awfully pro-insurance in this. And he thought, I'm just throwing this out there, you gentlemen don't. It's a rhetorical question, but I'd be curious to kind of find out who's supporting his campaign or any his PAC for future endeavors.
I would say that one thing the governor sent back that was very good that Kevin touched upon was the no balance billing provision, because that really was going to be very difficult on both insurance companies and could be for the providers. What the rate that we set, that would be it. So it is difficult to get people to get their arms around the fact this is only for emergency ambulance service. Mm. So we get it for the regular transports between hospitals. Let the market be there. People can negotiate what those rates will be. But we know for this service, and Kevin just told you, our Marshfield service was under $500 per run from before.
That's what we're collecting.
Yeah. And so for people, sometimes they think that's a lot. And I'm saying, folks, that's for a service that's there 24/7, whether it's needed or not. They have to be there with two qualified paramedics. That's really cheap.
That's what we've collected.
I understand. So. And now we're looking at what we may collect if this provision goes forward. That's going to drop down to maybe $400. You're going to lose. You'll lose at least 25%, if not more. So that's, you know, they're the insurance lobby's done. Unfortunately, I think that they've gotten a message out saying no. You know, this bill that Robinson Cantwell are pushing is going to drive costs up. absolutely not the case. And we keep saying that we want to have the sanctity of this E911 system. We know how it can operate. It's been done great here in the South Shore. We want to use Marshfield, Scituate as a model, and that's what we're trying to push for this month.
Dennis?
Representative Kenwell, question. The state controls the auto insurance rate, correct? Now, why would they let the insurance company control an ambulance service instead of the local officials like you and I want to with this particular bill? I mean, the state will not allow, when they come out with the rate and they say, they want a 10% increase, the state will come out and say, well, we're only giving you 5.
Right.
So they are controlling, the state is controlling some of this, but why would they give the insurance company a free hand at this particular item? You know, when the auto insurance...
Again, it's an initiative that I believe is put forth by the insurance company,
yes,
in order for this to impact,
right,
this particular provision.
And we met early on, Kevin and I met with Joe Murphy, who is the commissioner for insurance, and that was... They tried to broker... I thought he was doing a good job of getting us all in the room, mm-hmm, trying to broker a compromise on this, because we turned to the insurance folks, mm-hmm, and said, tell us what the number is. What does it cost you? We know for sure what it costs Marshfield. The numbers can't be that far off for all these other services. They absolutely... flat refuse. They would not talk about it from the insurance side. And then, you know, and partly we want to be careful because they would push it back. The insurance folks said, well, we'll have a rate setting commission, so we'll have a board at the state level, we'll set the rates. And we said, no, you know, one, then we're losing control locally, and we know what's going to happen. The rate's going to be lower than what it really costs. And the second, you know, each town, the town of Plymouth and the city of Somerville have the same population. But if you look at the size of Plymouth as opposed to Somerville, Plymouth's costs are much greater.
It's a bit larger area.
Much larger area. So you can't just do it on population. Mm. You have to look at what's unique about each one of the communities. Our local selectmen, our local city councils, we can do that. It can't be done by the rate setting. So that's been, it's a great question, and that's what we found as we've gone through this over the last 4 years. We found the answer, and the answer really is to do have a local rate setting set by your city councils or your board of selectmen.
Anything, we've got a couple of minutes left here, anything that we haven't touched upon that you feel is important that we want to get across to the listeners right now, anything that they may be able to help this further?
I see this as a municipal budget issue. It's not a fire department issue.
Right.
And we've brought in those other groups, MMA, where I've asked my local department heads, when we have a department meeting, to also call Senator Hedlund's office to make sure that, because a municipal revenue affects all of us.
Right.
So I would encourage people to call Senator Murray, the Senate President, at 617-722-1500. It's House Bill 3557. Or email her at therese.murray@masssenate.gov and ask why this bill hasn't moved forward. And what we're asking her to do is just move the bill in the same language that they approved last summer. So there's really no debate. They've already approved it. It's just get it out of the Senate, back to the governor's office, and protect municipal revenue.
Any worry that you may not get his signature on this before he leaves office? Is it the hope that you is there a deadline that you have to worry about on this, or is it a matter of this could carry on to the next governor and the next group of folks who are elected come November?
Clearly, we'd like to get it done this session, the end of July, July 31st. We want this done by July 31st. So that's the push. That's why I asked you to come on to talk about it. That's the big push. If it doesn't pass by July 31st in the informal session, we may see some swaying that prevents it from becoming law. And then would start again in January.
Right.
And I've used this expression before. I'm stubborn Irish. If I got to come back in January, I'm coming back in January. I'm going to protect the revenue that the municipalities need to provide quality ambulance service in the communities.
And as far as anything further you can do, or you're basically, you've already done all that you can do?
We've done what we can do on the House side, and it's talking to our counterparts.
Again, it's strictly with the Senate President that it's kind of, the ball's in her court, and she's got a number of days. I mean, here we are, it's the 7th. We've got 3 weeks,
and
for crying out loud, to do something, to put this to a vote.
And 2 years ago, we actually got a bill to the governor's desk, but it was the end of July, July 21st.
Mm.
It sat on his desk for 10 days, and no action was taken. So we started the process over again.
Well, I will expect to hear back from you one way or the other. I'll keep an eye on the news for this. But if there's anything that I can do down the road, down the line, I'm sure the news department will be staying on top of this as well. Please let us know if we can help kind of at least stimulate at least a vote for this to push it on to the governor's desk for him to do something.
Very good.
Great. All right.
I appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully a lot of people listening tonight, and will help push this forward because it's critically important for every municipality across the Commonwealth.
Representative, anything in closing?
No, that's great.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in. That's, of course, on Marshfield, Fire Chief Kevin Robinson and State Rep Jim Cantwell talking about this. If you could give the Senate President a call and see if maybe she could do something with this particular House bill, House Bill 3557. Oh, correct. We're going to step aside. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.